like to open, just, I want to pray for people. If you're sick, you need God to touch you, you got some issue, doesn't matter what it is. I want us to pray for each other. Again, if you're sick, you need God to touch you in some area, just raise your hand. I'm not going to make you come up so you see the people around you. Let's pray for them. If you see someone near you, put your hand on them. Pray for them. Keep your hand up so they can see you just for a second. So let's pray. Father, you are the healer. And we praise you, God. But we need heaven to touch earth right now. God, your Holy Spirit is dwelling in us. We need the power of God to manifest, to heal bodies. I ask you to minister to sick bodies. I ask you to heal them, Father, of every disease, every sickness. Father, everything. God, I pray you break the hand of the enemy over their lives. God, I pray, Father, for those who have situations in their life, they need the touch of heaven. God, things that are reoccurring over and over again. God, I pray that you would break chains, that you would touch their lives, that you would heal situations, that you would heal, God, bondages, oh God, that you would break bondages, that you would liberate people in their surroundings, Father, that your light would shine in the darkness. Your light, Almighty God, you are the King of glory. You are Almighty God. You are the creator of the universe. You are our Father. You are not a man like a man. Though you have flesh, you do not act or a subject as a man is. Now, God, I pray that you would intervene in relationships. Pray you break bondages. Pray you break strongholds. I pray that you would liberate people that have been in generational curses, Father. I pray you break them, Lord, today in the name of Jesus. I pray for those that are, their hearts are hard. People that are in that are dealing with people with hard hearts, Father, that you would break that. You would liberate them. Lord, I pray for people that are lost, God, loved ones lost, God, that your light would shine in the darkness. But I pray most of all, God, the ceiling over your people would be broken. God, whatever is, God, keeping back your glory, I pray would be broken, Father. In the name of Jesus, let your glory come down. Let your glory come down. Forgive us for thinking we can operate, God, without your grace and your glory. Father, I pray you'd fill them. I pray in their situation you would fill them with your glory and the power of your Holy Spirit. I pray you minister to them life, Father. Life in Jesus' name. Life. Life, God. In the name of Jesus, I pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. I'm a little bit under the weather myself. Sorry. So I appreciate the opportunity to speak. The title of my sermon, I got to have glasses. If I pick them up, I'm going to have to put them back down. It's Walking in the Light. You know, and I'm going to have several scriptures that I'm going to talk about, but we know one undeniable truth, right, is that you are all called to be children of the light, right? You're called out of darkness into light, not out of darkness into a little bit of light, not a little bit of darkness and a little bit of light, not a little bit of good and a little bit of evil, but into light itself. There is no darkness in light. For example, when this room was, when you first come into this room, if the lights are off, you have darkness. When the light comes on, the darkness is expelled. It's gone. There is not a mixture. Do you see a mixture of light and darkness in here? You do not. You are called. How in the world could that happen? How could a bunch of people prone to be in darkness, prone to be things that we should not be, but prone to walk in ways that we should not walk. How could we come into light? How could we be light? Well, you can't do it on your own, right? So what happened? Well, we know that God, you know, that God knew that we were separated from him. He knew that the covenant of Moses wasn't going to be enough. But he knew that he would send his Savior to us, right? That's the hope of the world. You in that chair, if you're wondering, where's the hope of the world? The glory that's in you is in fact the hope of the world. But here's what I'd love for us to do today. Let's examine ourselves. Let's test ourselves. Do you know the scripture tells us to do that? And I'm going to show you that in a minute. To examine yourself. I'm not asking you to examine your neighbor. Don't examine your spouse. Don't examine your kids. Don't examine your best friend. Don't wonder if, this doesn't apply to me because I'm not as bad as the person next to me. Let's not be like the Pharisees, right? Who pointed at the tax collector and said, I'm glad I'm not like them. But let's be more like the tax collector that says, woe is me, I'm a man undone. Right? And Jesus said, that's the one that walked away righteous. Okay? So it's okay to examine ourselves. In fact, we probably should do it more often. Not in the critical way we do it when we don't get enough hits on social media. Well, I know some of that doesn't apply to you. Right? But some people it does. Right? I'm not asking you to examine yourself in a way to be super critical like your friends or your neighbors may be, but what I'm saying is examine yourself, right, with regard to the Word of God. And so in 1 John, John 1:1-10, it says, this is amazing. It says, that which was from the beginning. So Jesus is from the beginning. He's not going to be manipulated. He will not be handled or controlled. He is God. You are not. You are not God. You are not the leader of your future. You are not the determiner of your destiny. You are not. You may think you are. You may try your best to be. It will not work well for you. He is. He's from the beginning, which we have heard. John is saying this. How could John say it? Because John's saying, I saw him with my eyes. Heard him with my ears, which we've seen with our eyes, which we've looked upon, our hands have handled concerning the word of life. The life was manifested. It says the life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness. And we declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us. That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father. Don't raise your hands. We want to have fellowship with the Father, don't we? Isn't that the goal? And with his Son, Jesus Christ, right? That's where we really want to have fellowship. Now, what we do know is this. He says, you can't have fellowship with the world and with the Father. You can't have fellowship with light and darkness. It just won't happen. He says, in these things we write to you that your joy may be full. So John is writing and he's given authority. A person who's trying to make an argument starts out with authority. And the authority is, I'm telling you, I have handled and seen and been with the light of the world, the Savior. And this is what I'm about to tell you is key. He says, there is a message which we've heard from him and declare to you that God is light. In him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie. And we do not practice the truth. Again, he says, if we have fellowship with him and we walk in darkness, we lie. We do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sins. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we've not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. And so it tells us clearly that if we say we know him, but we don't have walk in the light, we are not being truthful to ourselves, nor to those around us. It cannot be that we walk in both darkness and light. right? And so, well, what do we know? Well, we know, again, John 1:5 tells us who the light is, right? Jesus is the light. And we know, again, as I described, darkness cannot comprehend it. That means, what that really means is darkness cannot overcome the light. It cannot overcome the light. It doesn't matter if we agree with it. It doesn't matter if the world disagrees with it. It doesn't matter who affirms it. It cannot happen. I always like to talk to my students about this. I say, do you know your faith does not make God exist? Do you know it doesn't? Whether you believe or don't believe, it really doesn't matter. He is who he is. The word is for your benefit alone. It doesn't create him. It doesn't make him. It just simply declares about him. And the only way for you to benefit from it is for you to believe it. That's the only thing that happens when you believe. It doesn't make him appear or disappear. His will be done. The only way you benefit is by believing. And he is the light of the world. So we know Jesus, right? John 8:12 tells us Jesus is the light of the world. Jesus is the transforming way out of darkness into light. If you are wondering, man, I keep doing this stuff over and over and over again. Or I am depressed, down and out. I am lost. I feel like there's darkness all around me. Well, I'm about to tell you a way out of your darkness. And it is not a difficult way. It may be a difficult path to get through in a sense of you got to humble yourself. That's the only difficulty. And let me let you know, unbeknownst to a lot of us, humility is not necessarily a difficult thing to do, but all of us don't do it, right? And I'm dare say we all need to examine ourselves and make sure that we actually are being humble, but it takes humility, right, to enter into the light. Jesus is the doorway. There can be no light in your life unless you go through the door of Jesus Christ. There cannot be. There is no other way. Jesus says, I am the light of the world. The way into the light is through him. I am the light of the world. He who follows me, he shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Now, what that did not say is, he who one time raises his hand, says a prayer, will not walk in darkness. Do you understand? It doesn't say he who came to an altar one day and got up and walked out of there and never changed their ways one way or the other walks in the light. Do you understand? Just because you said some prayer, prayers do matter. But the word doesn't tell us just a one-time incident. Although we must come to the saving grace of Christ, the word tells us those who walk in the light. Right? Remember the parable where he said there were seeds scattered on the ground. Some fell on good soil, some fell on bad soil. Guess what? Today you can be good soil, even though at one point in time you were bad soil. You know the difference? Humility. The soft soil, right, is the ground is softened by humility in your heart. And God is not asking you whether one day you raised your hand, whether you go to church. This has nothing to do with that. I remember a friend of mine reminding me of an old saint, a statement that he said at a church we used to attend. He says, one thing I fear is I could sit on the front row of church, die, and go straight to hell. Why? Because hearing sermons is good and beneficial, but they will not save you alone, right? You must walk in the light. You must allow it to have its effect in your life. You must allow it to change you. You not change them. You know, we say, I can't, what Lisa did today, highly uncomfortable, right, for us. However, you know, the gospel, for us to enter into the kingdom, I think it kind of teaches us in the gospel, right? And Jesus even said it. You got to become a little bit uncomfortable, maybe a lot uncomfortable, to have your sins confessed, exposed, to deny yourself, take up your cross and follow me, right? And you go, well, I do that. Well, when's the last time you got angry and you denied yourself? When's the last time you wanted to watch something you shouldn't be watching and you denied yourself? When's the last time you wanted to say something you shouldn't have said and you denied yourself? When's the last time you gave love to somebody that didn't deserve love? Forgiveness to those who hurt you and harmed you, right? Those are the things we're talking about. And so Jesus says, I'm the light of the world. You walk, if you are in me, you're going to walk in dark. I mean, you're going to walk in the light. You're not going to walk in the darkness, right? Now, again, we're talking about walking. Not a one-time situation. Now, why? What's the purpose of the gospel? Well, we know, right? The purpose of the gospel is to bring us into the light. Acts 26, 15 through 18 tells us that. But one thing that Paul says, it's pretty phenomenal here. This is about Paul preaching the gospel. He says, you're going to bring out of darkness. So you're going to bring people out of the darkness and bring them into the light. And he says, you're going to turn them from the power of Satan to God. So let's get this clear. Dark, there is no void, spiritual void. Did you know that? There's no area that we can operate in that there is a void, meaning no spiritual content whatsoever. There's either light or darkness, which in reality means God or the enemy, Satan himself. So being in the dark doesn't mean there's a void there. It doesn't even mean you're God, because if you're God, what's really happening is Satan is in control. There are two areas of control, two kingdoms, and they are not equal. Again, light is not equal, or darkness is not equal to light, but there are two kingdoms, kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of light, the kingdom of God and the kingdom of Satan. You walk in the kingdom of darkness, what kingdom are you walking in? Satan. No doubt about it. And now you can see clearly why they don't combine, right? They cannot be together. It just doesn't happen. But the purpose of the gospel is to take you out of the kingdom of Satan into the kingdom of light. There's a book called A Shepherd's Look at Psalm 21, written by a man who was a scientist and a shepherd. It's a really good book if you ever want to read it. It goes through that psalm as a shepherd would go through it and kind of talk about those scriptures. But one thing he talked about was how he prepared a field for his sheep, how he prepared a place for his sheep. A good shepherd would do that. A bad shepherd would not. And he said, my neighbor was a bad shepherd. He wouldn't prepare the field. He says his sheep would longingly look over the fence to want to eat in his pasture that he prepared for his sheep. And let me let you know, the kingdom of darkness, there's no good pastures there. There's only things that you eat and that will eventually kill you, right? It's only in the kingdom of your God, the kingdom of your light, is there green pastures, places for you to eat, places for you to abide in that are safe for you, right? And that's what Jesus came to do. Jesus, the Almighty God, the deliverer of the whole world, is our way out of darkness into the hands of Satan, into the hands of the God himself, into the hands of the good shepherd. And he did that himself through his flesh. And so how do we enter into light? How do we enter into this kingdom of light? The scriptures tells us that we must believe on Jesus. I'm afraid, though, our society, and this has not just been our society, this has actually been throughout church history, the idea of belief can be somewhat watered down. I've seen it, right? We used to go out on the streets and preach. We should do that more often. When I was a younger Christian, and I remember running into people, and they go, I go to church. I believe in Jesus. And they're doing all the stuff I used to do before I got saved. And now, listen, the scriptures tell us if we love him, we will obey him, right? That's a logical, the if-then statement is kind of a thing you do in logic that shows there's a sequence to it. But you know something from the if part, if you love me. So you know something from the love part. The then part you really don't know anything from. All right, so if you love me, you will obey me. So the obeying part, we know if I love him, I'm going to obey him. But if I switch that around, this is again put a counter positive. If I switch that around and say, I do not obey him, if I do not obey him, then I do not love him. Those would be logically consistent, right? And so I remember, you know, again, going to these people and watching them, they saying, you know, I love Jesus, or I'm not saying I love him, I believe in him. Well, what do they believe in? Remember, the scripture tells us the enemy believes he's God and trembles, and rightly so. So there's more to that. It's a relying on, a trusting in, a laying your life on him, right? And what am I believing in? I'm believing in some figure that once existed? Well, here's what I believe it means. Number one, we must believe Jesus born of a virgin. Why is that? It declares his divinity. What that declares is he's God. Think about what that means. We use these phrases over and over again, and they become numb to them. Hopefully they would revive in us again. What does it mean that he's divine? That means he's the creator of everything. You, both the seen and the unseen, the laws that govern us, everything. You know that math that you're learning in school? He came up with that. Even our founding fathers believed that there was natural law. What that means is through right reasoning, we would happen upon his rules. That means the stuff we've discovered is nothing more than what he's previously created. We just have happened upon it. So he's the creator of all. Think about it, the universe, everything in it, the whole earth, and he keeps it together. He doesn't need you to do that. He doesn't need you to think right for that to happen. He doesn't need you to even believe in him. He does not get power from you. It is not like some spiritual being up there that only exists if he gets enough people to really believe in him. That's not who he is. He's Almighty God. He's divine. He's divine. So how would your life be different if you believed in the God who you serve is divine? You really believe that, and he has a right to do what? Tell you what to do. Tell you what to do, even when you don't want to do it. And in most cases, when you don't want to do it, right? So he's divine. We believe he's born of a virgin. Jesus walked physically on the earth. Physically on the earth. Not some spiritual being alone. He touched the earth with his feet. Jesus revealed himself as the Messiah. How did he do that? Healing the sick, raising the dead, cleansing the leper, bringing sight to the blind, preaching the word. He confirmed the word. He did everything the scripture said the Messiah would do. He confirmed who he was. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? Is that just something in your brain on a good day, or is in the worst times, do you believe that? There's a movie called The Resurrection. No, I think that's the name of it. It's where Roman soldiers searching out to try to find Jesus' body. I think they showed it in church. But at one point, I think it's Bartholomew, the Roman soldier turns to Bartholomew. Now, Jesus is in their presence at this time, and he says, why did y'all follow him? Because it's kind of ridiculous, a homeless man, right? Why are you following him? And all of a sudden, a leper shows up. And Jesus goes over there and heals his leprosy. And right after he does it, Bartholomew turns to the Roman soldier and said, that's why. He said, that's why. Jesus revealed himself as the Messiah, and he was. Jesus was pure, holy, sinless God, yet allowed himself to be crucified. He paid the price for your sins. Think about that. That's what we believe, right? Pure, holy, nothing wrong, righteous in everything he did, and allowed himself to be crucified for your sins. Let me give you a picture of this. If you were the only person that ever existed on the face of the earth, he would have still had to be beaten like he was, tormented like he was, crucified like he was, just for your sins to be forgiven, not for the murderer. Your sins. Your sins. My sins. That's how bad they are. That's how bad they are. That's how bad sin is. That is how bad darkness is, but he did that. That's what we believe in. Then we believe he physically rose from the dead. His physical body rose from the dead, and he met with his disciples. Thomas, he says, Thomas, here's my hands, here's my side. We call him Doubting Thomas. I refuse to do that. You know why? Because I think, if I'm not mistaken, church history tells us that Thomas died in India for the faith. I don't think he deserves the title of Doubting before his name. So, we believe he's raised from the dead. We also know that he's seated at the right hand of the Father. He's seated right now at the right hand of the Father, right now today. Let me tell you, I don't care what's going on around in the world. God's God. He's Lord Almighty. And when light shines, it dispels the darkness. Okay? And he's seated at the hand of the Father. And Jesus is going to return to judge the living and the dead. Did you hear me? He's returning to judge the living and the dead. I know that sometimes we get a picture, and I do believe it's like this too, that he's just going to come back with his arms open wide, and I'm not saying he's not. I'm telling you, though, the scriptures tell us clearly there will be a judgment seat. There will be a time of judgment. Where will you stand? So that is what we believe. And if we believe that, then we enter to the kingdom of life. Now, let me give you another part of the thing with the if then statements. Again, if you love me, you will obey me. If you love me, you'll read my Bible. If you love me, you will pray. And I know a lot of people do when they hear these things, and sometimes when they hear sermons like this, a lot of people go, why should I listen? You know, you know better than I am. Well, that's a logical fallacy. Do you know that? You're basing your truth on the then part, which you cannot do. It's the action part at the end. You're saying, you do all this stuff, therefore, you know, I don't have to pay attention to the whether I love God or not part. That's an inconsistency. It's a logical fallacy. I just ask you for a moment right now, for all of us that are kind of tone or key to do things like that, to just let the word have its work in you, right? That what God is asking us, what the Lord is asking us clearly is what? Are you walking in the light? Not somebody else. Are you? Are you walking in the light? Not even whether I am. I don't have to ask myself that, but are you walking in the light? And so we know this in Ephesians 5, 8 through 14, if we walk in the light, it says, for you were once darkness, but now you are in the light of the Lord. Walk as children of the light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. For whoever makes manifest is light. Therefore he says, awake, awaken you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you life. You know who he's talking to? Believers. He's talking to believers. Right? Paul's writing this letter to believers. Again, don't stumble. Don't look around the room. Don't wonder, you know, how this is applied. Apply it to your life. Apply it to you. It says in Galatians 5, 19 through 26, it says, we know the difference between the works of darkness and the works of light. He says, now the works of the flesh are evident, which are what? Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, dissensions, heresies, envy, murder, drunkenness, rivalries, and the like, in which I tell you beforehand, as I told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Do you hear that? This is very serious, right? The difference between, again, we're talking about walking, our walk, walking in the light or walking in the darkness. And he lists these things, and we should read them and analyze and see if we are practicing in any of these things. Are we practicing adultery? Even with our eyes. There's so much in our ways now we can practice that, right? And you know what you should be doing and not doing. Or fornication. Are you practicing that in any form or fashion? looking at things you should never look at, watching things you should never watch, doing things you should never do. How about uncleanness of any kind, lewdness, idolatry? What's idolatry? Worshiping anything, anything, putting anything above God. How about sorcery? Well, what in the world? Well, if you're practicing any kind of witchcraft, well, what do you mean? Well, there was a good, I'm going to place this on someone else so you don't go after me, but there was a teacher a while back who passed away around about 2006 or 8, I think. His name was Derek Prince, and he has some really great messages on witchcraft, what that really means. And one thing he said, which I tend to agree with, if you're tempting or if you're being controlled by anything but the Holy Spirit, then that is a type of, or any type of control outside the Holy Spirit could be a type of influence over your life that's not appropriate. Could be a type of, if you're attempting to control people, attempting to control them in a sense where you really feel a need to do that, you got to be careful. That could be similar to witchcraft. And nobody around you needs to repent of that. If you're doing that, you just simply need to repent. You don't need to be controlling people, like with anger, frustration, outbursts. You don't need to do that. You got to stop, right? That's a part of darkness. That's not who Jesus is in you. That's not who Jesus is in you at all. How about hatred, contentions, right? Do you hate? Do you have contentions? Are you jealous? Are you walking in outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murder, drunkenness, rivalries, and the like, right? I think we could examine ourselves based upon these scriptures. And if we find them, what's the result? What's the answer? Well, the answer is always the same. We run to the throne of grace. The answer is not hiding it. The answer is not religiously covering it up. The answer is not saying, I'm better than the other person, therefore I can keep on doing what I'm doing, right? If you are committing any of these acts in any form or fashion, you need to repent. There doesn't need to be another day, another moment. You need to confess them. You need to get them out of your life. If they're controlling you, you need to stop it and you need to get this out. This is not playtime. This is what the blood of, I mean, Jesus came to the earth to set you free from this stuff. This is extremely important. And so what should we have in our life? We should have love. So in Galatians 5, 22, verse 22 through 26, it tells us we should have love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. That's what should be in our lives. And if that's not there, then we need to be asking the Lord what's going on. We need to have him examine us, right? And here, we need to not, again, this is not about you asking him to examine somebody else. Us, me, you, examine me, God. Examine me. Examine me. Am I in the light? Am I walking in the light? And then we look at Galatians, the works of darkness against well, that's what I just talked about. Sorry. Then we look at Romans. It says love fulfills the whole law. Romans tells us clearly what we're supposed to be doing. We've got two commands. Love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love our neighbor as ourselves. Right? That's the command. Well, the obligation to man is to love man no matter what. And he says, in fact, the whole law, all the laws, everything is summed up in those two points, loving God and loving your neighbor. Right? Loving God and loving your neighbor. And John tells us, to keep reading, that I know I'm walking in the light because I love my brothers. I love my sisters. I love my neighbor. Now, the Bible tells us something clearly. He says in the last days, the love of most will grow cold. Is that what it says? That is not what it says, and I'm sorry. That was a trap. You fell in it. You were supposed to. It's a teaching point, so you maybe remember it. It says, evil will abound, and the love of most will grow cold. It's easy to pick up hitchhikers when no one's killing people. Right? It's easy to love people when the evil is not abounding. But evil is going to abound, and it's going to affect your ability to love. God said, don't let it stop. That doesn't mean you need to go pick up hitchhikers. But what I'm saying is, don't let it. Be aware of it. You know, Jesus doesn't want us walking around unaware. Did you know that? He doesn't want us walking around going, I wonder what's happening. I wonder what's going on. I wonder why it's hard for me to love people. Did you know? He doesn't. He tells us evil will abound. It will. And you need to be on your guard because he will not allow it to be an excuse for your love to grow cold. You must still love. Why? Because God is love. That's the answer. The answer to the world's problems is if really, in fact, his love and compassion. And the love of God fulfills the law and ensures that we walk in the light. It ensures that we are in the light, right? Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 13 defines love, doesn't it? It said it suffers long, it's kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. It is not puffed up. It does not behave rudely. It does not seek its own. It's not provoked. It thinks no evil. It does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. If you are not practicing those, if you find one of them, if you're missing, you know, you need to, again, it's a time for us to allow the Lord to work this in our life. Today is our day of salvation, not tomorrow. There's no another day. There's not another day to get this right. Now, these are great commands. These are great commands for us to do. How do we do them? By walking in the light. By walking in the light. By humbling ourselves and running to the throne of grace. But there is no other way. It is not okay for you to live out your supposed Christian life and not love like you're supposed to. It is not okay. It really isn't. It really isn't. You may think it is. We may have been doing it for a long time. And let me let you know, love doesn't require, again, that you look around the room to see if everybody else is doing what they're supposed to do. It's about you. Are you doing what you're supposed to do? Right? Are you doing this? Are you long-suffering? Are you kind, generous? John 14 commands that as evidence of his condition. If you love Jesus, you will do what? You will obey him. So we have our command to love our neighbor, and it tells us, he defines what that love is. Now it tells us that we're to love God, right? If we love him, then how do we know if we do? We are going to obey him. We're going to say yes to him. Even if it offends us. Many of us are easily offended. We come to church, we get offended, we throw that sermon aside, and we don't need to do that anymore. We need to allow this to have its work in us. We need that light to come inside of us and expel every bit of darkness. So he says, if you love me, you will obey me. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And then he says, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. And then what's the great result of that? And my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me does not keep my word. And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father who sent me. Right? Thus, if we walk in the light, what do we know? We first must enter the light through our faith in Jesus, believing in who he is, looking squarely into the face of the Lord, that he came in the flesh, that he is creator of all things, he's holy, He's the great God. He owes us nothing. We owe him everything. He governs and will not be governed. Also, if we walk in the light, we will love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength every day. We will love our neighbor. Thus, we will not walk in wickedness and sin. We won't do it. We won't allow sin to rest and reside in our heart. Whether it's hate, whether it's fornication, adultery, whatever it is, we won't allow it. We won't allow it. We won't allow it in our lives. We won't allow coldness. We won't allow bitterness, unforgiveness. If we walk by, and thus we will not walk in wickedness and sin, we will walk by the Spirit and the fruit of joy, love, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, and self-control will be with us. We will perform, and here's the key. You are the light of the world. He has works for you to perform that are good, that he predestined for you to perform before the foundation of the world. Did you know that? You are the light of the world. If you are acting like the world, you are no longer the light of the world. You are now darkness. Right? But today is our day to be light again. Right? Today is our day to make sure that we are shining like we should. You know, you all have different gifts and callings too. One thing that sometimes we do, and I talk to my students about this, I say, stop looking around the room to figure out what God's called you to do. Like, God's called you to do something, and it's usually not exactly what somebody else is supposed to be doing. And so when we're examining ourselves, we got to be careful and make sure we're examining ourselves. And then when we look, and we're looking to what the good works that God's called us to do, God's put that on your heart. There are good works. So he wants you to walk in the light. Why? Again, because there are good works that he's predestined us to perform. And the scripture tells us this clearly. We're supposed to perform them, and people are supposed to do what? Praise our Father in heaven. We are nothing more than reflections of Jesus, right? I remember the song we used to sing in the 80s, and if you lift Jesus up, he will draw men unto him. If you lift him up, he will draw all men unto him. You want to know the answer to our society? I'm going to tell you. Now, look, this doesn't mean everybody's going to do right. But if you want to know the answer, lift Jesus up. Walk in the light. Humble yourself and repent of your sins. Get your life right with God. Get your life right. Stop being angry. Stop having outbursts of anger. Stop being frustrated with everybody around you. Stop acting like if everybody would do right, your life would be better. Stop acting as if somebody else is the result of your sin. Stop doing the things in the dark that you should not be doing. Stop saying the things you should not be saying. Walk in the light. Let it have its work in you. So I ask you to examine yourself. I'm not asking you again to determine if one time you were glory, that you came down to an altar. I'm not asking you that. I'm not asking you that. I'm asking you to whether today you're walking in the light, right? Walking in the light. In Philippians 2 Philippians verse 12, it tells us to work out your salvation with what? Fear and trembling. Did you know the scripture says that? It says work out your salvation with fear and trembling. That doesn't mean you have to go around afraid or you have to go around panic. But what it does tell you is to recognize that you must be examining yourself to make sure you're in the light, right? Now, and ask the Lord to shine his light and to keep his light on you. Also, 2 Corinthians 13 says, examine yourself. You know what it tells you to do? Examine yourself to see if you're in the faith. It said, examine yourself as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourself. You know it says that? I know in our society we're so concerned about being introverted, you know, so depressed and looking inside and becoming depressed with who we are. That's not what the Bible's telling us. He's saying, examine yourself by the word to see if there's any darkness in you, anything that's making sure you're in the faith. Make sure you do it right. Making sure your love hasn't grown cold. Making sure you haven't left your first love. Making sure that you're still in that place where you should be. right? And let the Lord do that inside of you. There's a amplified version of that scripture that I kind of like. I found it yesterday. I actually thought this is really good. And it says the same thing. It says, test and prove yourself, not Christ. And what I got from that is, Christ is not the issue, right? Don't test God, test yourself. Christ is the Savior. Christ is the Lord. He's asking us to examine ourselves. And so the questions we could ask, and I always try to ask, have I left my first love? Think about what the things you did when you first got saved. Think about the love you had in your heart when you first came into the kingdom of God. Some people now, you may think, oh, it's so naive. Well, maybe, but don't forget that fire, that love fire that was in your heart. It should be there today. Remember, he didn't call it, do you know, he's called us to become mature. But how do we become mature? By being like children. Right? Now, that doesn't mean like children in the sense of things that we're to know, but children in the sense of how we accept things. Right? He's God. I know he's going to take care of me. I know that he's with me. I'm going to examine myself, see if I've left my first love. Do you hate? We can examine ourselves. Do you hate your neighbor, family member, enemies, the person down the road, someone in church, someone that hurt you, someone that scared you? Do you love your neighbor, those who do not deserve to be loved? Do you have any hate in your heart? I remember, I hear it sometimes. You go, well, I don't hate the person, I just don't like them. Or, look, I don't hate them, I just don't feel anything for them, right? Or, they did this to me, they hurt me. And look, granted, remember, hatred is like cancer. And here's why I say this. And it's contagious. Why? Because someone that gets hurt normally will hurt somebody else. And then that person will hurt somebody else. And then that person will hurt somebody else. Now, how do you resolve it? By getting people to do right? Not really. Forgiveness. It ends it. It ends it. And you can do it. You know why? Because God forgave you. Remember what he forgave you for. Remember the sins that he has forgiven you for. Remember what he did for you. Forgive. Sometimes you got to say it out loud. Sometimes you got to repeat it over and over again. And you do it over and over again. Forgive. 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 Are you controlled by anything? The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, the pride of life? Is anything controlling you? You can't break. You're doing it over and over and over again. That's darkness. That's not Jesus. That's darkness. He's come to break that. It can happen. I always think about, remember, our walk with God is not always going to be a walk down an easy road with the wind always at our back. Now, I believe it is always at our back. However, God has set you free. Did you know that? He has. You may have placed yourself back in bondage, but he has set you free. Now, what that doesn't mean is that you walking away from it will be easy. For example, has God given you the ability to run a marathon? He has, if you've got two legs, likely. Now, you may not be fast as everybody else, and you may have to walk, but what it'll take is some training. You have to get up every day and do some walking or running, right, if your legs work. And again, I'm not saying you have to run it. I'm not saying, but sometimes getting out of bondage is not easy, but you are free from the bondage. You got to get up and exercise that liberty. You got to get up and get away from it every day, and it won't be easy. Stop thinking that God is with you only when it's easy to do. It can be hard to do, and God's still with you, right? In fact, it tells us clearly we're to resist the devil. He will then flee from us. But we got to resist him. Resisting him means turn that TV off. Turn your computer off. Stop looking at that stuff. Maybe you can't have a computer. Maybe you can't have a TV. Maybe you are not supposed to have an iPhone without somebody monitoring it for you. maybe you aren't supposed to open your mouth at all until you can say something that's going to be from the Lord. Maybe you just have to keep your mouth closed. Maybe you have to act in a way that you're not even comfortable with acting, completely contrary to the way you've been. You must resist the devil. You got to resist him, right? And then he will flee. Do you know, let me give you, try that. You've been trying everything else. You've been doing it your way for a long time and wondering why the devil's still around you. Try it the Lord's way. Try it the Lord's way. Resist the devil. See if he'll flee. You heard the song. He says, not by might, nor by power, by my spirit. How many of you are trying to change situations by might and power? I have. Authority that you can exercise. Good luck. Good luck. You can bang your head up against the wall. I remember a lady used to tell me, she said, Tony, you're like that kid that keeps banging his head against the wall. And you go, why are you doing it? It feels so good when I stop. Right? He has called us. He's given us a good thing to do. It's contrary. Always, almost in every way, contrary to our human nature. That's why we must die for him to live. We must bear our cross. There is not a Christian walk that can't bear a cross. You've got to. It's your cross. You've got to bear. You must die and let him live. So I'm asking you again, test yourself. Are you controlled? Are you resisting the devil? Or are you allowing the devil into your life? Through your words, through your actions. You know, even in the church, we've allowed things to go. We said, oh, that's okay. That's all right. No big deal. Just human nature, just the way we are. No one's perfect. I'm not Jesus. You know, those won't happen. Those excuses, let me let you know, although maybe people will let that get by here, at the judgment seat of Christ, won't work. I'm going to let you know, we're not talking about whether you're a good or a bad person here. It's guaranteed you're a bad person. That's why Jesus came. This is life and death, because if you read those scriptures about examining yourself, this is about whether you're in the kingdom of light or darkness. That means when Jesus comes, whether you are going to be on the side of those in white or on the side of those who are not in white. These are really important issues. Really important. And I didn't ask you whether you do good works. Although we should do good works. But remember the then statement, like if I love him, then I will do good works. Even if I do good works, it doesn't tell me that. That doesn't necessarily mean I love him. And let me give you an example. We sometimes are trying to, instead of we confess our sins, we want to go do good things to make ourselves feel better about the bad things we're doing. You know? And look, it's good. We should do these things. These are good things. And we shouldn't look at people doing them and wondering if they're trying to cover up stuff. Look at your own self. But we don't want to cover up our sin. You know, you should feed, you should take care of people and help people. But be careful. I mean, don't be careful, but make sure that you're not doing that to cover up something, okay? I'm not looking around the room or judging anybody doing that, but what I'm saying is we could do that. And we don't want to do that. We want to do the good works. But let me let you know, if you're doing it, keep doing the good works. Just get over yourself. Don't stop doing the good works. Stop doing them for the wrong reason, right? But what I'm getting at is don't let anything soften the blow if there is a blow. Let the blow come. Let it have its work. Are you walking in obedience? Are you, and now here's the key, so I hope this clears up some of the things. Are you allowing his word to do its work in you? Are you saying yes to his word? Are you resisting the Holy Spirit when he speaks? Allowing the sun to go down on your anger? Are you quick to confess your sins, humble yourself, and to seek forgiveness? Forgiveness from others? Are you quickly forgiving those who wrong you? Today can be the day. Repentance. Today is your day of salvation. Today is the day to enter in and become light. And so here's the thing. The Holy Spirit in us, when we do wrong, should be quick to convict us, and it usually is. Are you responding to that? Are you one of those that go, well, God understands who I am. He knows my disposition, and I'm going to just keep acting like I'm acting. He does not. That is not right. He is not in agreement with your darkness at all. Even if you think you were, this is just how he made you. No, he did not. You were born into sin. That is the sin nature in your life. You must die to it. Doesn't matter if you think this is who you are. It is, in fact, who you are, and that's the bad thing about it. You must die. And I'm sorry, I hope I didn't go a little bit over, but the purpose of this, again, not condemnation, but you know what? We need conviction. It's good for your soul. Examine yourself. Are you in the light? Are you in the light? If not, if you find some place in your life, today, right now, we can get that right. Today, right now, you can deal with this. And you know why? So that you yourself can make sure you're in the light. You yourself can make sure you are in his kingdom and out of the kingdom of darkness. Because let me let you know, if you find yourself being wheeled around, knocked around, kicked around, then you may want to examine yourself to see if you're in the light. Because your Heavenly Father is not like that. Now, I'm not telling you you're not in a battle and that he's not with you. He is. But examine yourself. Let's do that. Father, we bow our heads. Come, light of God. Come in and examine us. This be a week or a day of your light examining us. Father, let your word have its work in us. Bring back Holy Ghost revival. Bring back our lampstand. Shine on us, Jesus, I pray. Right now. Right now. Right now. Father, pray that for those of us that have allowed the evil that's abounding around us to allow our love to grow cold, forgive us. Let it burn again in us. Only this can happen by you. Remind us of the joy of our salvation. Remind us, O God, of your love and your forgiveness. God, revive us. Revive us here. Revive us here, O Lord. God, do not send us out, Lord, the same, I pray. Do not send us out, Father, I pray the same. Lord, I'm asking you to deliver us from hate. God, in every level, don't let it sit dormant in us again or hide itself as if it's not hatred. Come, Lord, let your light shine on us. God, reveal, God, fornication and adultery in our hearts and lives. Don't let it hide itself any longer. Don't let it hide itself. Uncleanness. Trying to control people. Come, Holy Spirit, I pray. Set us on fire for your kingdom purpose again. Jesus, I pray you bless these people. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Father, I thank you. I thank you that these are your people, Lord. Today is your day of salvation. The Lord is speaking to several people here. Some that are turning their, somewhat, that have had hard hearts, skeptics, critics, the Lord's speaking directly to you. You had a calling. You have a calling on your life. God's calling you out of darkness today into his light. Again, he's calling you. He's calling you. You are a royal priesthood. You are a holy generation. You are called to be children of the light, separate from the world, holy to God, loving, kind, full of joy. Jesus, Jesus, I pray, bless these people. Father, I pray that your conviction would continue, that you would continue to examine us. I pray, Father, you bless these people today. I pray that your favor will rest on them. I pray they'd be blessed going in, blessed going out. I pray their prayer lives would change. I pray, God, their lives of devotion would change. I pray that there would be fruit, oh God, from repentance. I pray there would be fruit, God, liberation. I pray for your word to be released. If you're wondering, some have wondered, where is the Lord? Where is the releasing of his people? This is it right now. You can't have the releasing of God's people without them coming back to the light. God is not going to call you to be both light and darkness. This is it. It's called revival and revelation. God's calling you out of darkness again into his light so you can shine light to those around you. Father, I'm asking you again, bless these people. Let your favor rest on them. God, let your love and compassion surround them. And revive us, O Lord, again. Let us be fire that burns everywhere we go. In Jesus' name, I pray you fill them with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, be released. Amen. Thank you. God, have a good day.